Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we welcome back to the program many-time guest Doug Rushkoff, new media thinker, host of the recent Frontline documentary Generation Like, about how corporations target kids in the social media environment, author of books like Present Shock and Program or Be Programmed, 10 Commandments for the Digital Age. And as of today, well, we'll let Doug make the announcement himself. Doug Rushkoff, welcome back to WNYC, and what's the news?
Hey, it's great to be with you. The news, as announced today, is I'm joining the faculty of City University of New York, Queens College, to help develop a new master's in media studies. So I'm a professor.
So cool, professor. Now you'll get the respect that you've always deserved.
Or maybe less, given today's society. I mean, it's part of the reason I'm doing it. You know, I've been looking at 2 or 3 years of headlines about how MOOCs are going to undo the university and how university education's gotten too expensive for regular people to
do. MOOC, by the way, being a massive online a course, basically. They're right. Hundreds or thousands of people can take online instead of going to class and paying the usual tuition.
Right. And that these were going to bring down education, because now everybody can just get the skills they need on the internet.
Oh, the word we forgot, you know, shockingly enough, because it's sort of the point, is open. A MOOC, M-O-O-C, massive
open online course. Right. As if there weren't already massive open opportunities for people to get educated. You know, I guess, you know, the big thing for me is I'd spent, you know, 25 years really rejecting the idea of becoming an academic or going into a university, because it all seemed so isolating, you know, that I was going to go into some ivory tower. And what I hadn't really considered was, you know, just like there's public radio, there's public education, you know. And it was really when I was walking around Zuccotti Park during the Occupy movement, and I saw almost a picture of what education could be, which was people who care about issues sitting around in circles, talking about things, educating one another about media and activism and history and currency and investment. I was thinking, well, I could teach at a school like that. And, you know, and it turns out CUNY and Queens really are schools like that, where they're, you know, inexpensive enough for pretty much anyone in the city to come. They've got, you know, great financial aid. And I can, you know, look across the table and teach people without putting them into lifelong debt. You know, and that really kind of changes the equation for me.
So you're being brought on to sort of develop a new media studies program from the ground up. And in the announcement for this news, you said, quote, "The essential skill in a digital age is to understand the biases of the landscape." You didn't say it's to know how to tweet or, you know, to know how to Google search. It's to understand the biases of the landscape. Care to elaborate?
Yeah, I mean, and in some ways that's a shift from one of the first times when I was on with you maybe 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was talking about screenagers and this book Playing the Future and how young people were going to speak you know, the digital language like natives, while the rest of us are immigrants. And what has come to pass is, well, yes, they can tweet better than us. They can assemble a better Instagram photo than us. They don't seem to be any more aware, and maybe less even than us, of, you know, who is behind the landscape? Who made these things? You know, it's one thing to be able to blog or tweet. It's another thing to understand, well, what does this software want from me? What does this platform want from me? You know, kids are raised in a world today, you know, where Facebook and Twitter and the web are pre-existing circumstances of their universe. They don't really question them as anything but nature, and they're not. You know, and I think what media studies is about was really two things. One, it's being able to think critically about the platforms we're using, understanding how are they tilted? What sorts of behaviors do they want from us? Does my smartphone want me to check it every 2 seconds or every 2 hours? And second, how can we make change through media. You know, I really see this program as being a place not for kids to make the next, messaging app, but to actually come and change the world. This is, media studies for occupiers. This is a program in media studies for activism.
So listeners, this is your chance to help Doug Rushkoff help Queens College students to change the world. Ha! Call in and help him build a media literacy program. What, in your experience or your expertise, should be in this curriculum? 212-433-WNYC. Since he just got appointed today, I don't think he's going to be too averse to getting some suggestions here.
212. No, the whole idea, too, is for the program really to be built around the needs and interests of the students. You know, when someone is like me, 52, 53 years old, part of the reason you go into academics is to meet the next generation. You know, they're the ones with the ideas. I'm the one with the experience. And between those two things, we can actually take some action together.
So 212-433-WNYC and college age listeners, what are some of those ideas that might get matched with Doug Rushkoff's experience to build the next generation media literacy program? 212-433-WNYC 433-9692. And by way of further background, I want to replay a specific moment from your recent documentary, Generation Like. And we've actually played this on the show before, but it's so jaw-dropping that I want to play it again. This is when you ask a bunch of teenagers if they know what the term selling out means. And here's the response.
Selling out. Can you define that?
Well, selling out means, like, it could mean different things.
I guess, I don't know, I think first of, like, a concert that's, like, totally sold out, like, no tickets left. That's probably not what you meant, though. I don't really know what that means.
So why does that moment matter to you, Doug?
It kind of shocks me. Just that, not, I guess I'm not that concerned, like, they're not part of Generation X like me, where our biggest fear in life was being a sellout or being accused of being a sellout. But it's interesting that they don't see any dividing line between our regular lives, our social lives, our municipal lives, and our corporate one. You know, there's no difference. It's as if all activity is commercial activity. All activity is grist for the mill. You know, they don't have any fear of which in some ways is great, but of a career that's just driven by, American Idol and whatever least common denominator venues are out there. You know, there's not this sense of I'm going to develop my craft and become a great musician. It's much more I'm going to use music in order to get famous.
David in Greenwich, you're on WNYC with Doug Rushkoff. Hi.
How are you? So I'm a rising senior at a university. I'm a liberal arts major.
Mm-hmm.
I study history and mainly history of political thought. And I guess my question is, I'm skeptical of media studies as a discipline unto itself, especially as an undergraduate. I'm skeptical in the same way that I don't know if American studies is a subject unto itself as an undergraduate. I think the liberal arts are fairly firmly ingrained in the collegiate experience. Studying history and literature and kind of the classics and the Western canon is the way to approach this, as opposed to kind of going directly into talking about tweeting and all these other things. That's one thing. And the other thing is that I'm a little bit disconcerted in the same way that I'm a little bit disconcerted about American studies and some of these other kind of more focused majors, that the guest was speaking a lot about Occupy, and he hasn't mentioned any other kind of movements. And it just seems as though there's an inherent liberal bias in this. I don't mean to sound like Rush Limbaugh, but I mean, it's in the same way that almost always American studies and African American studies, Latin American studies seem to jar to one political direction.
So you've got a few things in here. Whether you've got the political bias question, and you've got the question of whether
the question of a discipline,
whether the discipline really is a legitimate undergraduate major. Doug Rushkoff, engage with David in Greenwich.
Well, I think media studies takes the place of a classical academic discipline that used to be called rhetoric, which was really one of the big three, back in the day. And rhetoric kind of has evolved or devolved into, I guess, English and comparative literature and things like that. I think media studies gets us out of the American studies trap, if there is one. You know, so it's less about people writing papers about Twitter and The Simpsons, you know, and much more about people looking at how do we communicate, how are people led to believe different things. You know, everything, as far as I'm concerned, almost everything is media. And even more importantly, when you've got you look at most universities and you've got hundreds of undergraduates turning to media studies programs now that really don't do much more than kind of train them for media jobs of today, whether they're going to go into advertising and marketing and news gathering. And to have a media studies program that instead of doing that says, no, if you really want to take media, you've got to understand how to think critically about this. I think that does serve a point.
Why can't they get that in the history major? Why can't they get that in a literature major? I mean, why shouldn't they be reading Cicero and Milton and whoever else, you know, within the kind of traditional Western canon discipline? I mean, why is media studies the end-all be-all new Vogue replacement for that?
Or, David, I could push back and say if the locus, if the center of the curriculum is in American studies, for example, culture today as informed by history. What's wrong with that as a central organizing principle of an undergraduate major as opposed to history, which implies studying the past?
Well, I think it brings questions as to what exactly an undergraduate education is, right? I mean, is undergraduate education really about kind of vocational application of history to some sort of current state, or is it really about grappling with the questions of the past that, you know, Western society has grappled with before us?
David.
Right. I would argue it's more about the latter, which is why taking something like media studies, which begins with cave painting and moves all the way through the internet and even money and capital as a medium, I think media is a very apt lens through which to do a good liberal arts education. It's not everybody's, but it is a popular one. And I think anything that really engages young people and gets them thinking critically is a good thing.
And by the way, I think we missed one point here that should be mentioned. Since David is critiquing the idea of media studies or American studies as an undergraduate major, you're creating a master's program, right? Not an undergraduate major.
True. There is an undergraduate major there, and I certainly hope to teach. I mean, there's nothing better than getting in front of 400 freshman students and laying down Ong or McLuhan or somebody on them, and, you know, blowing their minds. That's a beautiful thing. But yeah, my focus is right now is developing a graduate program in media studies, which again, I guess you could say we shouldn't have. But I think we should. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be as big. It's not going to be hundreds of people, but it is going to be geared towards people trying to make change through media, and be integrated with the Queens community.
So, David, as a rising senior, now that you know it's a graduate program, maybe you'll go from your university to get this master's at Queens College, and you can debate with Doug Rushkoff for 2 years. But no, seriously, David.
What are the backgrounds of the students in this program, just out of curiosity?
And then, David, I'm going to go, but thank you very much. Please call us again. I appreciate the questions that you raised. Doug, real quick, to his question of the backgrounds of the students you expect to be teaching.
Well, there are none yet, so we're going to see. I would think the backgrounds of most of them should have gone to a four-year college and completed that. And then I'm really open. I mean,
And if it's like Queens College in general, then their parents are from all over the world.
They are. I mean, you end up with a much more diverse student body than at many of the other schools I was looking at because it is a public school, because it's much more affordable and it has some kind of local integration. But the kinds of people that are coming, I mean, I'm hoping we'll get people who want to, you know, think critically about media and new media, but also people who want to act purposefully with these tools. So it should be a mix, I would think, of people that are looking at, you know, how do these technologies change us? And other people who are looking at how can I use these technologies to make change.
Coming into our Twitter feed at Brian Lehrer, Susan tweets us some ideas for a media studies curriculum. You ready, Doug?
Please.
Key concepts. Algorithms are not neutral. Data is not neutral. Privacy is a constitutional right. not a trade-off for freebies. Ha. So, Doug, there's your first 3 months in 140 characters.
That's great. I mean, gosh, could you imagine doing a course in algorithms where you just look at different algorithms and how they've influenced different systems, not just the stock market, but, you know, everything from, you know, from Facebook to email to advertising to the development of Hollywood motion pictures. You know, if we are going to introduce, you know, algorithmic if algorithms themselves, artificial intelligences of sorts, into the development of our society, shouldn't someone be looking at how they actually work and work on us?
College professor Liz in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Liz.
Hi, I've been teaching college for 20 years, so I keep watching the generations evolve, and I teach in the People's University. Mm-hmm. One of the things that has happened, I teach English and literature, and one of the things that I notice is that my students have increasingly little concept of what publishing is, of any kind of historical, your earlier caller, who was an undergraduate, was protesting that or concerned that a historical perspective couldn't be gained by thinking about media studies. And part of the problem, I think, is an absence of continuity or a sense of continuous connection between the between publishing as it emerged and proliferated in really the 18th century, or the end of the 18th century, and, you know, mass culture and all those things, but just the idea of what the procedures are for getting things from somebody's head to the public, and what the thinking about all of the commercial and accidental and logistic and economic forces, as well as intellectual ones that come in between those things, and the sense that media studies is not simply about electronics or about something on the screen. Students really don't know what it means to publish. Mm. The concept of publication is itself in flux.
I wonder how much
of that is factored into a media studies program.
Okay, professors, talk to each other.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the faculty at you know, Queens College Media Studies, who are certainly more educated and probably smarter than me, have been talking a lot about emphasizing what they're calling media archaeology, which is really the history of media and media studies, and looking at the artifacts of different eras, which I guess the full-size New York Times is an artifact of another era at this point. So that in itself, you know, looking at and touching these things and thinking about them, I kind of helps create this continuity or this sense of a connection. But yeah, publication, people publish by default now, you know, writing on your phone, it ends up in a sense published in a way that that really diminishes what publishing has meant, you know, until very recently.
So let's keep Liz on the line, and let me bring in Chris in Westchester also in this conversation. Chris, you're on WNYC, and I think Chris is calling with a related point. So let's build this roundtable a little bit. Chris, hi.
Hi. So I'm a high school student in Westchester, and as what I feel is, you know, one of the foremost sort of consumers of the information on the internet, you know, I feel that these sort of long theses that are posted online in different academic journals, you know, their point isn't being portrayed to the fullest of their ability. You know, there's a huge opportunity for people to really spread what they're trying to say in, you know, shorter, more concise versions that people will really read online. And I think that sort of online writing isn't really offered in any school. You know, we've got this.
So very, listening to our last caller, Liz in Queens, who's a college professor, is also still on. Are you thinking, well, don't teach me so much about the history of the concept of what publishing is. Teach me how to use this medium set of media that we're in today as effectively as possible for good?
Well,
right. And
Chris?
I think that, like, so many – Sorry,
I was going to say, we call that writing, and we call that teaching writing, and yes, it's very important, but we do that in English, and it's the relationship between the medium of language and it's being able to – somebody you were saying that it was rhetoric. Rhetoric is part of what media studies is, but the other part of it has to do with the dissemination of it. That's why media studies is different from English. But, yes, writing well, writing concisely, getting your point across effectively, which mm-hmm. now includes visual stuff as well as rhetorical stuff, but now also includes self-publishing.
Right.
And publishing techniques,
so, Chris,
which is not the purview of English.
Chris, you want to come back on that?
Well, I just want to say that so much of it now is being able to use the mediums that are offered to us, you know, already through, you know, different websites that don't necessarily have a publishing technique, because I feel that people, at least in my generation, are so disillusioned with these academic journals, you know.
People of your generation have no concept of what you think publishing means. Academic publishing. You think it means some dry and moldy a hierarchy, but it doesn't. Publishing is has been a commercial industry. Enormous
right.
amounts of that have happened, and studying those things in the past can give you, and I'm not talking about devoting your whole curriculum to this, but mm-hmm. that this is an important element of what a media studies.
Right. So Doug Rushkoff,
that our caller raised is, he said, you know, well, there are these other platforms, this newer stuff, where you don't need any technique to use them. That's the crime. The fact is, there you do need technique to tweet effectively, to blog effectively, to write a 400-word post on Mashable or an 800-word one on CNN. That different media have different styles of writing. I definitely want to teach how to write about media, but probably more importantly, how to write for and through different media. You know, the whole point of this program is not really to do one or the other.
Right.
The phrase I keep coming back to is we want to teach people to think critically about media and act purposefully with media. And purposefully is the key word here, that we want to enhance and create a situation where people can develop agency through these tools rather than just to be used by the tools. If you think there's no technique involved, then they're using their technique on you.
Liz and Chris, thank you both for your calls. Good talk. And we have under a minute left, Doug Rushkoff. But to that point, I want to go back to the beginning of the show today and come full circle and ask if you have a reaction to the Yes All Women movement, that hashtag that broke out over the weekend in response to the misogynist shooting rampage in Santa Barbara. Is that an example of using a corporate platform, Twitter, to take a social justice stand? 30 seconds.
Well, it's an example of using a platform. It's also an example of using a current events moment, whether you use the Super Bowl to talk about spousal brutality or you pick an event like this. It's just tricky to use a very loud, dangerous, unpredictable event and to try to marshal it into a more thoughtful conversation about a real issue. Sometimes it can also backfire. But yeah, so far it's been a very effective use of a very awful event.
Douglas Rushkoff, author of books like Present Shock and Program or Be Programmed, the recent Frontline documentary Generation Like, host and now media studies professor, about to create a graduate track in media studies at Queens College. Really great conversation. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. All are welcome.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the final results of our Clock Your Sleep competition. Which group won, trying to get a little more sleep than they generally get? Stay with us.